government regains the trust of its citizens is by telling the truth. There is no other way, no shortcut.
And I call upon our government to open up like the Belgians have, the French have, the Brazilians have, the Argentines, the Mexicans have all released their files. It's about time now that we do the same thing and become a part of this planetary community.
It is way past time for all of us to know what our own government knows instead of being kept in the dark by a policy of ditto.
The last time that Congress held a hearing addressing the extraterrestrial issue was 1968, 44 years of sightings ago. In those 4.5 decades, hundreds of thousands of new sightings have taken place. Government agency witnesses have come forward. Media coverage has expanded. Hundreds of documentaries have been produced. Thousands of books have been written. And yet the United States Congress has remained silent. So for a period of 5 days, at the National Press Club in Washington, D.C., 2 blocks from the White House, 12 blocks from the Congress of the United States, we're going to conduct a citizen hearing on disclosure of an extraterrestrial presence engaging the human race. 40 to 50 witnesses of high rank and station, from military, from agencies, and possibly from intelligence services, along with the top researchers in the world, will give 30 hours of testimony to 5 former members of the United States Congress.
So maybe the citizens hearing has a chance to try to leverage open some of the truth about the fact that we're not alone in this universe, that we might actually begin to look at what we really are, what the true history of this planet is, and that might be what gets us into a future without self-destruction.
The motto of the citizen hearing is, if Congress won't do its job, the people will.
Welcome to Galactic Roundtable, Countdown to Disclosure. I'm very happy to be with you here again today. This is Beth. We are having a little bit of a change in our programming today and tomorrow, and we did yesterday. I spoke with BBS Radio, and they said what's happened to me is not unusual. I'm having trouble with my modem, and I have no internet access, so I'm doing this from the cell phone. So I, instead of doing the regular presentations I've been doing with the videos, we're switching over to something a little bit different. And I think it's kind of fun to change it up because it has us focus on something different. And we'll go back to the lineup in a couple of days. So I guess I want to mention that there is a petition on the We the People website. And the petition is respectfully asking President Obama to disclose to the people what he knows about the extraterrestrials engaging with our government. And we need 39 more signatures today to get that petition to go live. And once it goes live, everyone can see it. So then it gives the media something to comment on. And it gives them a reason to report on the citizens' hearing and the Sirius documentary, all happening in April. So I think if anyone who's listening puts that out in their email, we should have those signatures by supper time, and that would be great. So what I did yesterday was I had introduced this book that a lady had written down by automatic channeling messages from Lord Ashtar. And this happened in the late 40s. And I was reading from the book on air. And while I was reading it, it felt very powerful to be reconnecting with Ashtar's words. So let me read to you a little taste of it so you understand where I'm coming from. This is the story of full galactic disclosure, as told by Lord Ashtar. Ashtar is commander of the Galactic Federation under the orders of the King of Kings, Admiral Sananda Jesus and Captain Askar are in charge of this universe, Mebadon. Admiral Lincor is head of the Starfleet of the Intergalactic Confederation of Seven Universes, and they report to him. When Earth descends, we will become the 33rd member of the Intergalactic Confederation of Worlds. This message is to the ground crew on Earth from Ashtar. This is Ashtar speaking. Your planet was given a rare opportunity to learn the true and dependable laws leading to progress along all lines of achievement, physical, mental, and spiritual. When the one known to you as Jesus Christ was sent in human embodiment, not only to teach, but to demonstrate in full sight of Earth dwellers the beauty, the efficacy, and the supreme wisdom of compliance with those powerful creative laws enunciated by the omnipotent creator of all things. Alas, the failure of all but a mere handful of people to catch even a fleeting glimpse of the sublime spiritual message he brought, which would have freed them from all bondage to material things. Their complete blindness filled our hearts with sorrowful despair of any possible chance for Earth to be saved from total destruction. I say, we who watched from our posts of observation in space lost all hope of ever seeing your planet rescued from the fate it had brought upon itself. Not so your Redeemer. He had made a sacred promise to those who believed and trusted him implicitly. To them, he said, he would return in power and great glory. And this dark orb would be illumined in spite of all efforts of the Dark Ones to prevent it from happening. We come now in full confidence that this promise is to be kept. We have been summoned to assist in the fulfilling of this promise. Knowing from long experience the manifold joys and satisfactions which will be yours when you are released from all those who hold you captive to their evil wills, we will come with an excess of enthusiasm to lend our support to this crusade. Yet we hold ourselves subject at all times to the all-wise supervision of our supreme commander. We know each one who is in sympathy with our mission, and we would like you to know what a help it is to have these luminous avenues through which to reach the darker areas where much of our work must be carried on. May we all band together in a divinely blessed fellowship and lend our utmost support to serve well and faithfully until the glorious victory is won and the planet Earth is at last a shining orb in the firmament of the heavens. This book, which was written back in the 40s, is included within the book that I wrote called Lord Ashtar and the Galactic Federation. And when you sign the petition, as a thank you, I would be more than happy to send you the e-book version of this. It's about 440 pages long, and it has all the information about Ashtar and the Galactic Federation in it. My email is eltrutwin@gmail.com. Just send me an email and request the book. Let me know what number you signed. Yesterday we had let off reading these letters that Ashtar had written through this lady. And this was just after the United States had dropped atomic bombs on Japan. And it was right after the United States government started the truth embargo with the Roswell crash of the Zeta Reticulan ship, which it crashed because they messed around with the radar waves, and doing that made the components within the ship went off course. And then it crashed. So we crashed that craft. After that, it gave the Black Federation permission to intervene on higher levels than before, because it was necessary at this time to not harm Earth with nukes anymore. So Ashtar brought these messages to these ladies. And if you listen today with ears that hear, you can see how he's talking about this time now. So I would like to just go ahead and pick up where we left off yesterday, just as a reprieve and a change in pace from our usual routine. I hope you enjoy this. I have spoken, so be it. Greetings from your friends of Station Share. Would that I might personally greet each one of you, openly avowed friends, and express our appreciation of their kindly acceptance of the presence of those of us who come from outer space to aid the dwellers on the planet Shan. However, since these friends now number so great a multitude, and since time is of the essence of our present mission, we spacemen must confine our contacts to those occasions when something may be achieved which will in some way forward our objectives. But I wish to make it clear to you that every new friend we acquire makes our mission a little easier and more effective. It is not our purpose, as you have been advised, to pounce down upon you, as it were, and intrude on your affairs in a thoroughly discourteous manner. Only in cases of unwarranted abuse of your newly discovered destructive powers will we feel justified in exercising our superior forces to circumvent their actions, seeing it would jeopardize not only your own planet, but many dwellings beyond the range of your vision. Other than this, our assistance will be supplementary. When, through the dismissal of vagrant entities not entitled to the hospitality of your planet, we are able to mingle freely with you and give you our willing aid in revitalizing, beautifying, and rendering your entire globe more tenable by aggressive mortals, we can then express in practical and visible ways our respect and admiration for those willing and eager to lend a hand in the transformation which is surely coming to the planet Shan. He's spelling that S-H-A-N and referring to Earth. Our sincere interest, sympathy, and love to our friends and those who soon will become our friends, Ashtar, Command Station Shar. A New Year greeting. To all who have accepted my friendship offered in a true spirit of fellowship, while in a sense each morning marks the beginning of a new day, yet at this last year has sounded the death knell of an era disastrous to the welfare and happiness of mankind in many ways. So the new year just dawning promises an epoch of unparalleled enlightenment and opportunity for mankind to recoup his losses suffered through ignorance or willful and deliberate substitution of man's base desires and destructive will to the divine will and perfect plan of God, his creator. Wearily have the days dragged by while plots and counterplots complicated and multiplied man's unsolved problems. We have watched with a horror impossible to repress man's ineffectual attempts to extricate himself from the treacherous quicksands of deceptive agreements accepted in apparent good faith, only to be ruthlessly trampled underfoot when their evil purpose has been achieved. Why do we say the tide has now turned? Because all mankind, enslaved or still capable of covering their lost heritage of freedom, begin to see for themselves the enormity of their folly in transgressing laws all-powerful to promote their personal progress and consequent possession of all they must earnestly need and desire. When will man cease his ridiculous attempts to obstruct the orderly process of progressive development as set in motion at the commencement of his sojourn on planet Shan? The answer is absurdly simple. When he acknowledges to himself that his puny brain and unruly impulses constitute no reliable guide for the acquisition of those tangible and intangible assets, without which he cannot hope to escape a more terrifying fate. Might we, whom you have named spacemen, share with you the actual provable facts we have been able to discover by experiment and experience in taking precisely the opposite course of action to that followed by the majority of Earth dwellers. Not but what there have been numerous rash attempts made by incautious believers in divine intelligence, wisdom, and creative ingenuity to align their lives with the supreme triumvirate. But to what avail? Mankind in general would have none of them. Their fate is all too well known to you. Shall we share that fate? No. It is our avowed intention to acquaint you with the results obtained through the consistent and persistent use in a constructive way of the very forces you have used to destroy everything good and beautiful, and now insanely plan to employ to commit suicide on a global scale. Our homes are built to provide comforts quite beyond your dreams of luxury attainable. Their care is a delight, for there is no drudgery. Entertaining guests is robbed of all of its problems, save the pleasures of devising fresh plans for their enjoyment. I might add they enter into all such plans with zest. All our educational facilities are entirely free, and so varied are the branches of study and practical application that no student has ever failed to find precisely the type of instruction best suited to his particular bent and ability. Prisons, reform schools, institutes for the insane, yes, even hospitals are unknown. They would be unoccupied. Have these and innumerable other wonders come about through some sort of magic? By no means. We have worked them out. Where did we get our instructions? From the self-same source, which is available to you. I will tell you more, should you care to know. My love, Ashtar. Ere we proceed with other aspects of New Age progress, we will spend a little time considering the necessary changes to be made in the habits of a majority of mortals, so that they may make the best possible use of new forces released for their benefit. We will liken the physical body of man to a plant which doth draw to itself and absorb its growing organism the precise elements vital to its expanding life principle. If it doth fail to contact what it needeth in its quest for self-expression, it doth soon sicken and die. As of the time of this writing, January 1955, Earth's atmospheric envelope, impregnated with many deleterious elements inimical to the health and development of any human body, particularly one delicately attuned to high vibrational frequencies, such and one must be constantly safeguarded against these infringing constituents of their very airy, of the very air they must breathe to sustain life. Not only the air, but the seldom recognized subversive thought streams. Best times well nigh flood the mental atmosphere and drown out the more sensitive upward-reaching tendrils of hope and faith. To counteract these and other dangerous deterrents to man's wholesome life, both physical and spiritual, certain purifying processes be constantly employed by the invisible guardians of the planet. Else would ye perish. Ye have observed what ye call an electric storm, with its pyrotechnical display of lightning, and have noted the ensuing freshening of the atmosphere, making it a pleasure to draw in deep draughts of purified air. This be but one of countless artifices contrived to lessen the dangers lurking in the ether about thee. Other threats to thy health of body and mind, for they be woven together like the woof and warp of a fabric, be not so easily apprehended. But this we would indelibly impress upon thy minds. A perfect provision hath been made for thine every need under any in all circumstances. Even in this transition period, when ye do encounter many unaccustomed difficulties, ye have but to ask for divine assistance to do the will of Heavenly Father, and often in strange and unexpected ways, help will come. Refuse to accept the ultimatum of discouragement and defeat, urged upon thee by evil forces rampant at this time. Pin thy faith to the redemptive forces sent of thy Heavenly Father to rescue thee from thy perilous position. As an airplane doth utilize the fuel provided to furnish the power it must have, that it may soar far above the sordid environment of a material world, so do thou avail thyself to the means provided for thy flight into the pure atmosphere of divine replenishment. Once thou hast contacted these currents of cosmic energy, penetrating with ever-increasing potency the finer etheric life force all about thee, no heavy, clogging earth vibrations can hold thee and swell them to disease of body, mind, or spirit. Until the day of the great illumination, there will unavoidably be a struggle to attain and maintain at all times content and perfect attunement with this divine source of life and love triumphant. Yet herein doth lie thy freedom from the fretting exigencies arising from incessant friction, twist the fast receding customs and systems of a decadent and expiring age, and that glorious new age of unexplored marvels along every line of constructive and progressive effort. Entirely new and fascinating possibilities beckon the dauntless explorer, qualified to be the recipient of astounding new inspirations and powers, ready and waiting to be bestowed upon him after the necessary cleansing of thy planet be concluded, permitting the full influx of marvelous dynamics hitherto undreamed of by the most imaginative of scientists. Greetings from outer space. A further word of information for those eager to hear of a state of development not yet reached by your most venturesome and fearless explorers into the vast universe of inexhaustible possibilities along every line of progressive evolution. We would make it clear at the outset that we are not seeking to convert you to any formula of religious concept other than the simplest precepts laid down by the divine master, the Christ of God. Many of these same principles were enunciated by inspired men, saints and seers, sent of God down through the ages, when the people of Shan refused to accept their teachings and put them into practice. They left your earth and transferred their efforts to more receptive minds and hearts on other planes and planets. Whether you choose to accept my statement or not, it is a fact that there are no closed doors between those who temporarily reside on any plane or planet, unless through sheer stupidity, ignorance, or absurd and unfounded fear, you yourselves close and lock the door. Quite true, the open doorway must always be guarded by strong forces to prevent the entrance of unwelcome visitors. As you know, these guards are provided on request. But to return to the more practical aspect of progressed living conditions as enjoyed by the citizens of Venus and similarly enlightened planets, as the entire environment and the atmosphere itself have become saturated with thoughts and emotional vibrations conducive to clear mental concepts and high ideals, you can easily understand that our problems of behavior are practically non-existent, or at least reduced to a minimum, not one on any level of mortal existence. And we are mortals, in a very real sense, enjoy being looked down upon by his fellows. Even a criminal aspires to be a sort of a super criminal. Thus, it is that having established certain codes of honor in our everyday living and finding it a definitely enjoyable way of life, it seldom occurs to the youth of our planet to look for their pleasure in unprofitable pursuits. Actually, they are too busy seeking to excel in their own chosen profession or avocation. Frequent tests are held. You would perhaps call them fairs, where many exhibits are on display and trophies awarded for unusual skill, originality, and dexterity, yet as demonstrated mechanically, artistically, mentally, or along any line of constructive effort to reach a high and ever higher goal of perfection, with suitable recognition of each evidence of progress made, often works wonders with those inclined to lag behind. We keep a personal televised record of the progress of every student enrolled in our schools. Thus, they compete with their own past achievements as well as with others in approximately the same category. With what you term the younger generation reared in this manner, you will readily comprehend the way in which they are enabled to apply the principles and utilize the essential etheric properties contained in the supercharged magnetic orbit which surrounds our home planet. An absurd theory exists in the minds of some Earth people. We have observed that the type of existence we have attained must be slightly insipid and monotonous. Nothing could be farther from the truth. Our lives are fairly teeming with ever-expanding interests and activities. You have a trifling example of my meaning and the constant improvements made in your automobiles and household appliances. Even their method of propulsion is constantly subject to revision. Then, why doubt or wonder that, on a planet where war has long since been abolished and all diabolically destructive practices are unknown, we have evolved a system of self-government which fosters individuals' initiative, contributing to an overall plan whereby each community forms a perfectly coordinating unit in an ever-progressing planet of magnificent achievement and surpassing beauty. Our knowledge, our skill, our equipment, and power to use it, all are at your service as you prove yourselves willing to learn and abide by cosmic laws which we obey. In the name of your beloved Commander-in-Chief, Jesus Christ, we bless you and give you our love, Ashtar and his men of might. Before writing a short resume of what we have to accomplish within a very short time, I wish to make doubly sure that everyone reading my statement shall thoroughly understand and accept my sworn affidavit that we spacemen have nothing, absolutely nothing, to gain personally by this tedious and difficult task to which we have dedicated ourselves for as long as it may take to bring it to a successful conclusion. Our only reward will be the satisfaction anyone feels in achieving a praiseworthy goal. Perhaps I should add the supreme pleasure of knowing we have played honorably our role in the forthcoming illumination of this entire globe, that your master may assume his sovereignship over a world completely renovated and restored to its original beauty. And even more than that, as men comprehend their privileges in the new regime, we shall assist in bringing into operation. It is not to your advantage to accept that aid. To augment and amplify our efforts, some very fine, brilliant men are doing this very thing. This gives us the incentive we need to continue our attempts to gain the confidence and cooperation of all persons of intelligence and integrity. The method I am employing at the moment may merely arouse your curiosity, but we feel it will take the widest possible variety of manifestations to converge and provide proof sufficiently convincing to permit us to carry out our plans without devastating interference. Devastating not to us, but to the very ones we are sent to rescue. Much as we would like to tell you otherwise, truth compels us to warn you the situation is serious. Be logical. Be courageous. Above all, obey one of nature's most insistent laws. the law of self-preservation. We are here to help. Give us a hand, won't you? My love, Ashtar. A word of counsel from one in authority. My word this day pertains to the subject of major importance, namely the mission of what you have erroneously called flying saucers and their occupants. Our desire is to have them recognized as speedily as possible as direct emissaries from more advanced planets, coming at the behest of a hierarchy governing this entire universe. Therefore, responsible for the continued existence of the more worthy specimens of the human race living on the planet Shan, the Earth, by reason of gross stupidity and ignorance of their superior powers, men have cast a pall of doubt and distrust about this entire controversy over the reality and purpose of these men from outer space, since they be not subject to the whims of any who would capture, imprison, and condemn them to torture, and a vain attempt to force them to divulge their secret source of power. They cannot and will not be balked in their mission. Ashtar will reveal further details of their heaven-appointed mission to mankind at his discretion. I have spoken. That message was added in there, and it was from Sananda. Greetings from Ashtar and its flying legions. Before writing a short resume of what I have to accomplish within a very short time, I wish to make doubly sure that everyone reading my statements shall thoroughly understand and accept my sworn affidavit that we spacemen have nothing. That was thrown in there. Let's go on. A definite change has come over the minds and hearts of many people in this and, to a lesser extent, other countries, where heretofore they viewed the appearance of ourselves in our spaceships in the light of a curious phenomenon to be regarded with suspicion or shrugged off as irrelevant to current affairs. They are now seriously weighing our possible involvement in any coming conflict. I'm taking this means to advise you that most assuredly we shall intervene to protect this or any country on the planet Shan, which places its trust in God Almighty and His Son, who is His personal representative on this globe. We have been asked to explain the type of cooperation we ask of you. The following suggestions may furnish a clue to our needs. Others will occur to you as you ponder upon the situation in your locality. Acquire as much information as possible from all reliable sources, refusing to give credence to any doubts cast upon our sincerity and our ability to carry out orders we receive from our commander-in-chief. Without being obtrusively insistent, pass on such information to every channel open to you. It is imperative that the public be alerted to our presence and its purpose. We might remark that treating it as news rather than placing it in a religious category would avoid disapproval in some quarters. Use the telephone, private correspondence, and casual conversation with friends or even strangers to promote a wholesome interest in the subject, tactfully leaving the impression that to deny our existence or doubt our friendly purpose is out of date. Encourage the forming of space clubs or small groups to meet at stated intervals for discussion on the latest news available. Stress the fact that our first urgent objective must be the removal of the causes necessitating illegitimate use of newly apprehended forces capable of completely disintegrating this planet and doing irreparable damage to all forms of living substance in close proximity thereto. We know the extremity reached in the downward course of power-crazed potentates. Under no other circumstances would we have been entreated to undertake our present mission or empowered to intervene and prevent the extermination of the inhabitants of Shan. As the opportunity occurs, let your friends know we do not come as adventurers seeking excitement, nor a scientist in quest of fresh knowledge. What could we learn in your laboratories with their passe equipment, or what satisfaction find in the hurly-burly of senseless clashes in mental or physical arenas of action? Perhaps it would be well to again emphasize the fact that your inmost thoughts and desires, as well as your acts, create either a very real barrier or point of contact, according as you reject our way of life based on the true Christ principles or harmonize with our concept of constructive and progressive living. We have passed through a long and tedious process of reappraisal and reevaluation of all life has to offer in the final analysis, since first we were favored with wise and patient teachers from outer space. What they did for us ages ago, we now offer to do for you. It is against every tenet in our code of honor to attempt to force you to accept our services in the capacity of teachers. Yet this I can promise in all sincerity. Should our offer be of genuine practical assistance be welcome and the necessary preliminary steps be taken, we can and will joyfully pass on to you the knowledge we possess. Not only will we do this, but we will loan you many of our most expert and experienced teachers in every branch of art and industry to initiate you into the secrets we have tried out and proven 100% effective in creating a world of incredible beauty and endless delight. Until you have attained some reasonable concept of such a planet and such a life, I fear it would be unwise to extend to you an invitation to visit us in my home on Venus. My love, Ashtar. A letter to you from Shara. We will continue our description of life on Venus as a fitting prelude to our well-earned privilege of serving in our present capacity, not technically designed as teachers, but more in the role of elder brothers, guiding, encouraging, and commending any forward step as our comrades of Earth fall into line with our steady march toward our goal. The acceptance of our beloved Commander-in-Chief, Jesus Christ, as ruler of Shaan, planet Earth, until he mounts his rightful throne of power and glory and is accepted by mankind in a true spirit of loyalty and devotion, we are bound by our sacred word of honor to serve in any way which will speed that denouement. Let us then proceed to our task of enlightening our friends on Shaan as to some aspects of our accustomed mode of home life, which has afforded us a maximum of physical delight. My scribe questions that term, but we do enjoy the sensory pleasures which you fear lost as you make the transition into what you have named the fourth dimension. True, it takes a little preparation to enter into this higher vibrational environment and participate to the fullest extent in the rare privileges which are ours. However, I assure you, without equivocation, our joy and the satisfying of every desire, since we have learned the secret of desiring only what is our highest good, goes so far beyond anything you have experienced in your present Earth life that we are at a loss to know how to employ phrases strong enough to make it real to you. When you hear the full, complete harmony of a celestial orchestra or the crystal clear tones of a heart-stirring melody, sung by one you regard as angelic, when a fragrance of unforgettable sweetness is wafted to you from you know not where, when a mental vision is reflected from some entrancing beauty spot, perhaps on Venus itself, when there surges through your entire being ecstasy, which sets your heart aglow with love for every creature, for every growing thing, from tiniest blossom to towering monarch of the forest, for every mortal who worships the great creator. When you enjoy the full flavor of a delectable contribution to your daily repast, direct from nature's matchless storehouse of edibles, unspoiled by man's tampering processes, Have you not had a tantalizing foretaste of the sensory pleasures which many Earth people imagine they must forego upon leaving their Earth home, which has yielded them all too scanty a portion of genuine pleasure? Yet it is an undeniable fact that we retain in amplified, intensified form, suited to our more sensitized capacity for enjoyment, all you have found truly pleasurable in your material existence, as you call it. We hear and are especially susceptible to aromas, but we have none offensive in our sensitive nostrils. We have clarity of vision, extending to realms hidden from your eyes, no matter how expert your occult may be. Our sense of touch is delicately adjusted to objects cast in a more etheric mold than those you encounter, and more easily shattered. In fact, they may be altered or even obliterated by the power of thought alone, which might be considered a desirable achievement in the case of decrepit bits of furnishing. I have observed, especially in what you name your attic. Please, I have the greatest possible respect and admiration for anyone who makes the best of their possessions, however crude. But I was thinking of what you often refer to as trash, kept about for no good reason. I heartily concur in CM's advice to streamline your possessions. I have not touched upon the most spiritual aspects of our lives, which to us are precious beyond all else. Our lives abound in ever-expanding appreciation of blessings accruing from a free expression of our highest aspirations. We shall try to take you farther into our confidence and our plans for your happiness when next we chat to you. Until then, my love and my warmest gratitude for your assurance of your confidence and affection, received by mail and via wireless. Thank you, and God bless you, Ashtar. An Easter message from our master. So this message is from Samantha, which is kind of cool because it's Holy Week right now. Unto each of thee, I address these words of earthly usage, that they may be read and understood by thy conscious thinking processes, limited by previous thought patterns strongly etched on thy brain, which be the physical instrument wherewith thou dost interpret my thoughts in conformity with thy willingness to accept divine truth in its purity of concept. At this culminating period of intense effort on the part of all light forces to enter every smallest opening in mortal minds and hearts, with the illuminating power of Christ's love, it be given to me, the Christ of God, once manifesting in mortal form, to give every human being some glimpse of my glorified being. Until the mass of mankind be brought to a point where they yearn exceedingly to know me, or the spirit of truth which motivates my every word and act, of what avail would be my manifestation in garb of flesh? Would it not be accredited by the majority of mankind to some absurd theoretical fantasies invented by minds closed to inspired revelation of truth? Lo, ye do contradict thine own selves. One moment you pray for a visible demonstration of the reality of one sent into flesh, nigh 2,000 years agone, that thus thy faith may be justified. The next moment ye deride and scoff at anyone who tells thee of beings not from highest heaven, but from advanced planets more easily comprehensible to untutored, immature minds, sent of the Father to lead mankind to a partial understanding of the spiritual laws by which man may progress. My words of truth and life have been discarded by the multitude as impractical, have been distorted, have been mouthed in vain repetition, until they have well nigh lost their power to reach men's souls, have been relegated to the realm of childish fondness for pleasing tales, oft cast aside as they grow to maturity. Think these be fit preparations for my manifestation in mortal guise? O my little children of earth, list not to those who prate of vast stores of knowledge to be acquired through years of arduous study of ponderous tomes designed to confuse thy minds and divert thee from the simple, direct pathway leading to true companionship with thy master in thy daily thinking and living. One truth lived each hour of every day in conscious attunement with thy master and thy heavenly father doth bring me closer to thee than endless hours of reasoning about this or that theory concerning life and its purpose. To see me with thy physical eyes would be to thee a boon beyond price, and this shall not be denied thee, yet will hasten the time of its occurring, if ye will but behold me in my spirit manifestation, walking by thy side wherever duty calleth thee, revealing unto thee, through our close understanding, in what wise ye may best fulfill the tasks allotted to thee ere ye embarked upon thy present earth span. Many now reading my written words, be here as ambassadors from far-flung vistas of outer space, having volunteered to endure the irritations of fleshly existence, that they might in some wise aid in turning to men's minds toward a Christly mode of living. Unto these consecrated ones I say, lo, I shall give unto thee, mayhap in a way ye not be expecting, a true vision of thy master and his boundless love for thee. Wouldst thou choose to see me clothed in radiance of glory, so dazzling you could not approach me in thine earthly habiliment? Or may I come unto thee in seamless robe of perfect understanding of thine own earthly circumstances and problems? Choose thee the latter, I pray thee, and in due season thy faithful service, performed in my name and by my power, shall lead thee to the hour appointed by our Heavenly Father, when thou shalt see thy Master face to face. Lo, this shall be thine own Easter morning of never-ending joyous recognition of thine ever-present friend and counselor, thy Prince of Peace. Ashtar sends an Easter greeting. What could a mere spaceman add to our Master's Easter message which would not detract from the beautiful simplicity of his words? We who come as messengers and deliverers from the powers of darkness now encompassing your planet beseech you to heed the note of warning concealed in this Easter message and step up all your own vibrations to a level where you can bear the radiance streaming down from the glorified cross, which is a symbol of our risen Lord, forever freed from the limitations of earth. You know, the glorified cross, that's a term described in the spacecraft. It was said of old, when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. I wish to assure you this is literally true, as we have proven, for as we visualize the divine purity of his life and teachings, as we made our lives conform with that inspired vision, we reached a point in our understanding where we were able to see him, not only with our spiritual eyes, but with the sensitized lenses of our physical eyes. Until now, I can tell you, in all truthfulness, we enjoy the most inconceivable privilege of entertaining him on many occasions when he visits Venus. Some of you may question this, saying, the Christ Spirit is indwelling in each of us? This we gladly concede is true. And this Christ Spirit manifests in many guises on all planes and planets, the spirit of kindness, of compassion, of mercy, of joy, of beauty, of love in all its multitudinous forms, of all these reflections of the Christ Spirit, which our Master so magnificently presented on our emulation during his sojourn on Shaun, the earth. Each mortal, seeking to follow in his footsteps, acts as a magnet to draw to earth those qualified to assist in restoring that perfection of both material and spiritual beauty it originally possessed in the mind of the Creator. It is our great privilege to aid in this restoration under the direction of our Master and yours, Jesus the Christ. A glorious Easter to you, in which we shall share with all the hosts of heaven, rejoicing at your response to the call, come up higher, my love, Ashtar. Were it possible for thee to see with thy physical eyes, or to retain in thy physical brain the memory of scenes at this moment taking place on astral planes in close proximity to the earth plane, then would ye be relieved of much of thy burden of anxiety concerning the outcome of violent clashes now occurring within sight and sound of thine eyes and ears as of thy conscious knowledge. Soon thy superconscious mind will release to the faint glimmerings of changes even now in preparation on the earth. Ye of a truth, they come into manifestation first upon the astral planes before materializing in earthly form through strange diversities of circumstance. Those most strenuous opposing their advent do frequently act quite unwittingly as their strongest proponents. Seeing the frightful ravages wrought by devotees of diabolical dogmas, many turn away and apply themselves to plans for their eradication. In this effort, they will reveal superhuman assistance. Following the demolition of destructive agencies, animate and inanimate, ye will concede the obvious need for a well-implemented program devised to fire the imagination and arouse the aspirations of every member of the human family in accord with their own individual ability to contribute to the overall plan. Every faculty possessed by mortals may be fitted into the mosaic of New Age activity. In this way, those formerly suffering frustration and defeat will feel a new surge of confidence in their competence to follow their clearly indicated aptitude for certain types of service in research, invention, mechanical skill, or whatever their talent may be, to a successful conclusion. To this end, hath it been ordained that many doors to knowledge hereto barred to mortals will be opened to those who, through trials oft counted unjust, and rightly so, have nevertheless proven themselves to be worthy to receive the boon they long have sought. To them will be given the keys to mysteries long veiled from mortal eyes, awaiting the propitious time for their revealing. Devious methods will be employed for the transmission of what be to many startling new facts regarding invisible forces, extremely powerful and yet how wisely impossible to contact or even apprehend from an intellectual standpoint, save by one elevated to a high level of spiritual awareness of the inviolable sanctity of any knowledge touching on energies emanating from divinity itself. Not in any promiscuous and haphazard fashion will the requisite aids to the acquisition of such supernal knowledge be provided. Many factors will enter into the bestowal of such gifts, chief of which will be the character of the one in quest of any particular type of information and his purpose. These qualifications may best be ascertained by a survey of his objectives and achievements in past incarnations. Such an inspection would necessarily be done by a very advanced mentor or specialist appointed for the task. The person whose past record be subjected to such scrutiny be not consulted or conscious of the procedure. We might interject the comment that many highly evolved men and women now on Earth have undergone such an investigation and have been improved and have been approved for admittance to the tutelage of adepts, awaiting only the moment of the world's emancipation from the domination of destructive forces to begin their collaborative work with their students. This active partnership between one close touch with the material world and one in direct contact with supernal knowledge will be one of the major marvels of the new age. The person privileged to enjoy such a partnership may not be conscious of such assistance, but may attribute the sudden flashes of inspiration to intuition, but will surely recognize it as coming from a source higher than their own mind. However, it may be said in passing that in almost every instance, there will eventually evolve so close a companionship that it will be possible for the two co-workers to visit back and forth from the fourth to the third dimension as well, much to their mutual advantage and enjoyment. Amen, so be it. Back in the 1950s, they weren't talking about the fifth dimension yet. A friendly message from Ashtar. Another link has forged between those residing upon your planet, Sean, and the galaxy of shining orbs, as you see them, which compose the glittering firmament you see above you. Actually, of course, it completely surrounds the globe whereon dwell those looking skyward at nighttime from their particular section of the Earth. Oh, that all peoples could but realize how the encirclement by these illumined, quote-unquote, stars, no matter how far distant they may be of earthly computation, provide the ultimate evidence of that this dark planet may in time reach a similar stage of evolution, unless man himself decrees otherwise. Could this fact be brought home to them, then would they accept a kindly word of counsel from the inhabitants of these and other progressed spheres and greatly profit by their proven knowledge of the beneficent action of universal cosmic laws when correctly employed in a constructive manner? Much has been written of late concerning certain visible contacts made by spacemen or Aetherians with inhabitants of Sean, the Earth, residing in different areas of the planet. Their conversation is often alluded to as being carried on by thought transference or through the use of telepathy. This brings to light a possibility given little consideration by those in quest of further information regarding any who have observed flying unidentified objects at incredible rates of speed. So impregnated have their minds become with thoughts of invasion by enemy forces, seen or unseen, that they reject the idea of a peaceful invasion or visitation by friendly neighbors, wishing to courteously welcome them into the cooperative fraternity of constellations of celestial bodies, peopled by those enjoying a type of intensely interesting existence impossible of attainment, save by those who live in accord with cosmic law. It is our desire to attract your attention and invite your confidence through visible manifestations of various kinds. However, do not for one moment conclude that this is our chief objective, God forbid. Our revered and beloved Jesus the Christ did many mighty works when he lived as a man among mortals, yet his real mission was to teach men the meaning of life, both here and hereafter. And so we rejoice that our vital mission to Sean is being recognized by many who meet and talk with us during the hours when their physical bodies are wrapped in slumber. The ideas, the truths disclosed in these nocturnal conferences are stored in their superconscious minds, and our new friends later work them into the patterns of their daily lives. As a matter of fact, it is of far more practical assistance in hastening the planet's delayed illumination to change the thought currents into the right channels than it is for us to transmit knowledge of scientific nature. Science, perverted to destructive purposes, acts as a deadly menace. Science directed into channels of dynamic activity, which will lift the human race to a new, a higher type of existence in accord with its God-designed destiny, will bring into reality that golden age, now dawning on the consciousness of all awakened souls. Our newly consummated contact with such souls is of profound significance to us and promises to play a major role in the emancipation of Sean from the domination of utterly subversive forces, whether visible or invisible. We pledge to you our wholehearted support to each and every constructive effort in every field of endeavor, looking towards the illumination of your spirits, minds, yes, and the very earth on which your feet tread. May our mission to Sean be blessed with a speedy success by the Father of us all and his beloved Son, Jesus the Christ. My love, Astar, speaking for a mighty army of spacemen now in active service. Well, everybody, I think we're going to leave it there. I feel it was very nice to revisit Astar's words. It's very powerful to feel their vibration coming through, and it helps deepen the soul to what aspects are important to Astar for us to know, because those aren't always brought through channels these days. So just to say again, we're working on a White House petition. It's very important. And if you'd like to have the link, what I'd like you to do is go to galacticroundtable.org. It's on the top of the page. It's a picture of the petition. Just click on it, and you can go there to sign in and sign the petition. And please share it this afternoon so we can get complete with it. I hope you all have a wonderful day. I'm writing a new piece on Nisara and announcements and disclosure today, and I'll share that with you tomorrow. Please join me then. Namaste, everybody.